Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Well, my feet a little dark right now. It's easy to let yourself get down. So take my hand.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to a special episode of the Curtain Call Podcast. Just a quick reminder that you can download and subscribe to our podcast from the Apple Podcast app or from iTunes. That way your feed will be automatically updated when we release episodes. But you can also listen to us on many other podcast streaming services such as Stitcher and Google Play. Please rate and review our podcast if you have a spare 30 seconds. Help us reach more theater lovers out there around the globe. Not just theater, but events, entertainment lovers, anyone who likes a live experience. And now for today's episode. As you heard on a recent special episode, We Make Events are flying the flag when it comes to keeping the issues of the events industry being pummeled by COVID-19 at the forefront of the public's and politicians' thoughts. After a successful event lighting the Thameside venues in London and beyond in red on August 11th, followed by a global day of action on the 30th of September, where over 2,300 venues around the world were lit in red, proving that even when there is no show, there is a show, the next event had to be ready to go, and it is already taking place. The Survival Tour, a 1,500-kilometer bike ride from Newcastle to London via major cities around England. I sat down with Steve Reynolds from Loud Sound and Mark Ward of Proper Productions, two professionals at the very heart of the events industry and who are leading the Survival Tour, to chat about their idea, the first couple of days riding, and what the tour is hoping to achieve. But first of all, I need to make a quick apology to Mark Ward for not letting him introduce himself at the beginning of the chat. You will hear Steve talk first, and then you'll hear Mark. Sorry, Mark. I'll put an extra tenner in the donation pot. Apologies. Have a listen.
So my name is Steve Reynolds, and I work as operations director for a production company called Loud Sound. So we produce a number of festivals and events, most notably BST in Hyde Park, All Points East in Victoria Park in London. We've done things like Invictus Games ceremonies, and we were supposed to be doing the Euro 2020 Fan Zone in Greenwich Park this summer, but as we all know, things didn't turn out to plan. So, that's us.
I know you guys a bit from some phone calls, basically some Zoom calls. This, everyone's life seems to be on Zoom. It was suggested that I get onto the We Make Events forum and help out where I can. And, it went on the 11th of August. We had a great, I was on Blackfriars Bridge. And then this Global Day of Action came, so we've been highlighted, done some podcasts for We Make Events, but I then heard about what you guys were doing, which I find insane. So why don't you let people know? Why don't you let people know what you decided to do to carry on the message? And that's the second part. The first part of that answer should be, you know, what is the message? What is We Make Events, and what are we trying to do with We Make Events?
Steve and I were both on that same day of action.
on the river with our respective teams. So my gang from Proper, Steve's gang from Loud Sound. We're all friends from doing shows together anyway. And we both had the feeling then that we wanted to get more involved. And really the thrust of this We Make Events is to back up the five things that We Make Events are really pushing for right now, which is the government-backed COVID-19 insurance scheme, government support for event attendee testing, 3-year extension to the cultural VAT reduction. And then I think almost more importantly for us as people who work in the business, employ people in the business in our own companies, is grants for business in the event supply chain, rather than the government just saying, well, there's loads of loans available. Loans for a business that can't function for a year don't really help, because all we're doing is pushing the can down the road.
Yeah.
And the other big one, of course, is a specific job support scheme for the live events supply chain. So all the people that we work with, for, alongside, that have been kind of left behind. And we get, John, that we're not the only business that's being hit really hard by the pandemic, but we're one of a reduced number, because everything we do rotates around mass events.
Yeah.
And until mass events are possible again, us, the theatres, events, the movies, we can't function.
You got theatres, you got movies, you got all these things. They're visible. They're actual physical structures where there's a massive stage in Hyde Park all year round for you to remind you that there's an event there all the time. So there, you know, the festivals aren't there all year round to have that visibility. You know, my son's going into the music, that he's at ACM at the moment doing a degree there, and he's desperate to get to the music business. And I'm like, I'm thinking, well, what can I do? Because it is not a massively visible industry until there is an event on, and then it is so visible.
And that's the thing in the festival industry, which, you know, that's the main thing that we do. There are a number of festivals, and BST is one of the big ones, but there are hundreds of smaller festivals, and their sole income is from this one event that happens every year, and that's been taken away. And now that they're trying to make decisions at the moment about what happens next summer. And it's really difficult for those people to make that decision and know whether they're going to put the risk of their personal money in lots of cases about whether they're going to go again next year. And to go to your point about, you know, people who went into the industry, I mean, 80% of the people who work in our business started when they were young, you know, like your son. You know, I was 19 when I got into this business. The guys upstairs, we've got, and it's not just me and Mark doing this, there's Harry, Tyler and Mike. You know, they're all young guys, and they were all in the business before they were 20 as well.
Straight out of college.
Right.
So it's so important, you know, as an industry that provides employment to young people, and we need to keep that alive for them.
And I think we all get, John, that the idea, you know, we understand from the wider perspective of the great world out there, we're not with our head in our hands going, but everybody should help us. Most people have some kind of event, cultural, artistic thing that they love to do, to go to the theatre, to watch a movie, to go to a gig, to go to a festival. Somebody in most families, that's a thing they love to do. And without the people in the business behind that who put it all together, there is no business. And I don't think we're expecting special treatment. I think what all we're asking for is to be treated in the same way as everybody else has to this point, that the government has done all it can to help everybody through this. And you can't then make a decision at this point that, okay, all the help's finished. You guys are on your own now.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating to hear those arguments. Like, it is coming to a finish when the events industry hasn't been helped in the first place. They've been told you're not allowed to do anything, and by the way, all the help is gone. Let's take it back to why you're on this bus and what do you so to keep this message right at the forefront in people's minds. What is it that you decided to do, and why?
We were there on the 11th, as Mark said, and came away from that really, really quite moved about the people I'd met that night, the stories I'd heard, the different circumstances of people. I was like, we need to do something. You know, we have to help keep this message. It was such a powerful evening, and it was such a, you know, a moment that the industry showed what it can do. But I was like, well, what next? What's going to come now? And how are we going to keep this message strong? So I had a couple of sleepless nights and then started to put something down on paper of this idea of the survival tour, where really it was about trying to take a message of the touring industry was supposed to start in October. We just finished the festival season. We lost the festival season. We needed to show that we're going to lose a touring season to make sure that we don't lose another festival season, because all of the suppliers, the staff, the freelancers, we're interconnected. It's not like there's a separate festival industry. There's a separate exhibition industry. There's a separate touring industry. We're all connected and people move around. I came away, I put some notes down. I spoke to Mike in the office and he didn't tell me it was a crazy idea. So I thought, okay. And then,
blame Mike that
he spoke to Harry from Proper and Harry spoke to Mark. And then Mark and I had a call, and talked about it, and nobody told me it was a stupid idea. So it's all their fault basically.
And so, you know, Steve just hit the, he hit the moment square on the head of, we can't just go home from this and say, well, it's somebody else's problem to do the next thing. And, you know, the events industry, part of the reason we love it, it's very resilient. It's very forceful. We're not good at taking no for an answer. And from that kind of spirit came, well, let's do a bike ride. How far should we go? Let's pick a nice round number. 1500 sounds nice. Let's do that.
Oh, my Lord.
And yes, none of us are serious cyclists. Yeah, we're leisure cyclists. This is way, way beyond anything we've done before. But yeah, running tours is, I've been on tour all my life. I haven't been on a tour bus in 6-7 years because I came up the road. But this is like being home for me.
Yeah.
And going to a bunch of these venues, we've all got stories of the shows we've done in those venues. We were just at what's now the O2 Academy in Leeds, just down the road here. Yeah, I did David Bowie there. And to be stood outside those buildings and we can't even get in the door because they're closed. It's emotional, and the idea that we all just sit at home and wait for somebody else to fix it ain't right.
You gave me chill bumps when you were talking about, Bowie at the O2 Arena in Leeds, and you just go, yeah, the buzz that must have been, the noise inside that place, and just to think that it's silent now.
And now we pause for a quick word from our sponsors.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
Welcome back to the Curtain Call podcast, where today's guests are Mark Ward from Proper Productions and Steve Reynolds from Loud Sound.
Quick question. How did you rope the other three guys into it? I mean, because there are five of you, aren't there?
They work for us. We just told them.
That's not true. They were willing volunteers.
They were fabulously enthusiastic. Arguably, they prop both of us up. As I keep reminding them, most of them are half my age.
Right.
Their enthusiasm for it, they're powering through it. Their conviction, same as ours, that somebody has to do something. That's what's created this. And we would have had many more people, but we made a decision a long time ago. Even before the Rule of Six came in, it was clear it was coming.
Yeah.
And we were very conscious that what we didn't want to do was be those idiots to somehow come up with this amazing... You know, we said months ago that touring is almost... If you designed a thing that was capable of taking a pandemic around the world, touring in the way we're used to doing it is exactly it. We applied a bit of thought to it. We're a group of six. We're sticking with all the regulations, but doing a tour in a new way.
And how did you choose the venues? Was it something that, was it just to hit the major ones, or did they have some sort of meaning like you just mentioned with the O2 Arena Leeds?
I kind of started with what are the top 10 cities in the UK. We knew we wanted to go to the major cities and New York, not just focus on London. It's about getting across across England. We stuck to England because basically the rules from COVID are different across each of the nations. So we were trying to make sure that it wasn't something that we hit a speed bump before we even start.
Fair enough.
It is worth mentioning, it's not like we were ignoring Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland. We thought this through many times.
Yeah.
And we make events are looking at what they can do, kind of satellite versions of this elsewhere. But as Steve says, we had to figure out, we need to make this a thing that we can make happen. We can only cycle so far.
Yeah.
Only do this so long.
It's been long enough from Newcastle to Leeds in the last 2 days.
And we all got the, you know, dipping into Cardiff. If you do Wales, you've got to do Scotland, you've got to do Northern Ireland. So we made the decision to do England.
Yeah, we wanted to get to the major cities, and then we added a few others on the way to get to where we are. But, you know, the ASM Global have been great and helped us. Academy Music Group, we're following through a lot of their venues as well. And then there's a lot of local venues. You know, we were in North Allerton Forum last night, which is a community venue. It's run by a charity.
Amazing.
And we had a pantomime dame on the stage. So you go find
that. The photographs are amazing, man.
Amazing. But what is really important for us to get across is that these are all venues in the community that are the fabric of everybody's, you know, society. They employ people in the community, they provide culture to the community, and they mean something to the people who live in those areas. And if they are lost, then there's something about these cities that is going to be lost, and it's going to be so difficult for them to come back once they're gone.
There are five of you, but you have a bunch of people behind you rooting for you. And how important is it to you guys that you have this team of people behind you, and that you know that they're just there to push you through the sore bum times, man?
It's great. I mean, yeah, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that, yeah, we haven't really hit the dark moments yet. I'm sure they're going to come. We're 2 days into a 16-day run. But yeah, there's still moments when you're just digging in and it's a struggle. And it's not just about us. Yeah, we're not doing it for the five of us. We're doing it as a thing that hopefully is contributing to a wider movement. You know, the fundraising thing is great. The awareness raising thing is great. And as you say, but yeah, there are 60, 70 people on those calls.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of other people all around the country who are part of the regional groups. And they're looking for, you know, if we're in some way a flag bearer, and I don't mean that to sound in any way kind of arrogant or self-aggrandizing.
No.
Yeah, there are a bunch of other people that could have done this thing. It just happens to be us, and we're doing it on their behalf. We're doing it for them.
Well, thank you for doing it. Now, how do people get involved with you guys as well, following the tour or kind of directly involved as well? That's air quotes that you can't see.
We've got our Instagrams. We've nicknamed Harry Mark Zuckerberg. He's across all of our social stuff at the moment. So we've got, we definitely got our Insta and Facebook, and we're probably across LinkedIn as well somewhere. We've got we make events socials as well. And then we've got the website, wemakeevents.com/the-survival-tour. We've got our Strava club. So
explain what that is.
So yeah, we've got three Strava clubs. One is cycling, one is running or walking, and then the other one is swimming. So what we really want people to do is jump on board, and we know that everybody can't come here and cycle the whole thing with us, but yeah, they can get out there and do stuff and contribute. And we're trying to do this cumulative contribute your kilometers thing to try and get as high as we can in terms of contributed kilometers. And what the We Make Events team are doing on their website is pulling that all together, and they're going to have a
totalizer.
Nice.
And then just, you know, recognize some big figures in the industry around, like, you know, the contribution to the economy, the number of people that work for it, the number of businesses that are affected. And again, just have some connection to what we're doing and what everybody else can do.
And it's kind of a fun, involving way of getting more of the numbers into people's heads. Because as we said a while ago, John, you know, the scope of this is massive. The numbers of people involved are way bigger than I think most people understand. That, you know, most people who go to a festival, if you told them how many people it took to build that little village for those 60,000 people to come hang out in, they'd be amazed. But all of those people are affected by this, and we're trying to get that understanding out there.
That's awesome. I think you guys are phenomenal. I'm just so freaking cool what you guys are doing, and crazy.
We haven't done it yet. We're only two days in.
But the last piece is we've got an Eventbrite page, which is accessible via the website. And if people want to come and cycle along with us, then they can do. They can come and get involved. Obviously, it's all done COVID safe. So we're in groups of six riders, socially distanced, etc. But they can come and do. So we've had a couple of guys do the first few legs. Still getting the word out, but we know we've got, I think we've got like 40 people signed up for London, and we've got, I think, 20
that's gonna be a busy day already
for Manchester, so it's gonna be nice.
You get your bike, John, come join us.
I know, I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna have to borrow the son's bike and get the butt pads out, man.
Don't worry, by the time we get to London, we'll be going very, very slowly.
Well, I can't wait. I'm, like I said, I'm going to try and catch up with you guys mid-tour, see how you're getting on. But I just want to really press this: is people can support globally. We make events as a global thing, so you don't have to be in the UK.
Not at all.
Absolutely. Worldwide.
Yeah. That's those private clubs are open. Anybody can join them. Just get on them. And
just remind the Australians and the Kiwis, the weather's getting better for you guys. So get out there. Do something.
Bam. I love it. I love this stuff. So, guys, thank you so much. I'll catch up with you in a week or so, like a week, 10 days or whatever it is. Have a great supper tonight. And listen, stay safe and dry as you can, because the weather will – I can't get any worse. Guys, it can't get any worse.
It did rain all day.
What a kickoff. But well done, guys. I'm really, really happy you're doing this, and thankful and grateful as well. So have a great week. We'll speak soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
And we both managed not to swear.
Yeah.
Fucking rare.
Mark Ward and Steve Reynolds from the Survival Tour. Somewhere around Manchester, riding south, definitely somewhere down there. Now, before I go, just a few housekeeping bits. You can follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Curtain Call, and you can follow me at John Schwab. It's JohnSchwab. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast, get in touch with me via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or write to me personally at john@curtaincallonline.com. It just leaves me to say a huge thank you to Mark Ward and Steve Reynolds. I hope you guys are not saddle sore. And I hope you're in the sunshine today. Thank God I can see the sun shining. A big thank you to everyone on the tour supporting them as well. Please go to wemakeevents.com and click the links through to the fundraising page. Give what you can to make sure that their message is being heard loud and clear, and find out where you can join them on tour. Thank you to Shure Microphones for sponsoring this episode, and thank you to listening to the Curtain Call Theater Podcast. Please stay safe, everyone. Continue to wash your hands. Reach out to someone today, anyone. Ask them how they're doing. You might just make their day. Bye. Together we stand as one.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.